I just want to share a couple things with you. First of all, I'm going to be talking this morning about prayer and fasting, of course. And so don't check out, all right? Stick with me. This is not a time to say, well, I don't need to hear this. I think this is very important. And I want to talk about it. It's a spiritual discipline. How many knows there's not a whole lot of things that God left for us to do, but one of the things that he told us to do is to fast and pray. Amen? Now, I'm not going to expect a whole lot of loud amens or shouting the aisles or jumping the seats this morning, but I will expect our ears to be open and our hearts to be open to hear what the Lord has to say to us. If there's one sickness that the body of Christ needs most, it's the cure for unbelief. If we can get healing and a cure for unbelief, there's no telling how far we can go. It stands in our way. Unbelief stands in our way. I really believe that unbelief causes answers to prayer to be slowed down. I believe it causes miracles to slow down in our lives. Is this a church that still believes in miracles? Okay. I believe that unbelief will cause the things of God that God's promised us, even the promises of God, can be slowed down in our life. How many knows God promised us many things, but how many knows we have to use our faith and believe him for those promises? Amen? It doesn't just happen automatically. It takes us believing with him. And, you know, unbelief can not only can unbelief slow down the answers to our prayers, but how many knows unbelief can stop the work of God? And if you remember, I may refer to it again later on, but if you remember, Jesus went to his hometown, and the Bible says that he could do no mighty works there. They stopped the miracles. They stopped the flow of life. They stopped the flow of the blessings of God. Why? The Bible says because of what? Their unbelief. He couldn't do mighty miracles there. It's not that Jesus couldn't work a miracle. Amen? It's not that Jesus was too weak or not powerful enough to work the miracle. He had the power. He had the ability. He had the authority to heal and do miracles. And it wasn't because he couldn't do it. It's because the people couldn't believe that he could do it. How many sees the working together there? We must work with God. We must believe in our heart what he says. Amen? And so the people didn't believe, and guess what? Jesus said, okay, adios, amigo, I'll go to the next town. He went to the next town, and he began to do mighty works and mighty miracles, and the power of God flowed. People were healed. The lame walked. The deaf heard. Why? Because the people believed. Amen? I know this is elementary, but this is just the prelude to my sermon this morning. Jesus said to the centurion, he said, your son is healed because you have believed. You have believed. Not somebody else laid hands and they believed, but your son was healed. You got your miracle. You got your answer because you believed. Amen? It's so simple, but yet we mess it up so much, so easily, because we blame God, or we blame our circumstances or other things. It's a simply matter of unbelief. Why could we not cast that devil out? Because of your unbelief. Why could he do no mighty miracles in his hometown? Because of unbelief. Are you with me this morning? Why do we not receive today? Because of our unbelief. Somebody said, well, I believe. Well, if you believe, I believe it'd be yours. Because of your unbelief, amen? And so we're going to talk about that today, the cure for unbelief. Again, it hinders miracles. It slows down answers to prayers. It will cause things to come to a halt in our service or in our lives. It'll cause the things that we expected to happen overnight won't come. Sometimes we wonder, God, I've been praying about this for years. I've committed this to you for years, and I'm still not seeing it come to pass. I wonder if there's some unbelief in our hearts. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Because the unbelief will tie the hands of God. Say that with me. Unbelief will tie the hands of God. Unbelief will limit God. God is more willing than we are willing to believe him. And so it's unbelief. Unbelief stops it. And so I believe even in the days of Jesus, when he was walking this earth, there was constant tension between him and his disciples about fasting and about prayer. And I probably suspect that it's the same today. We still have problems with that, because when we mention 21-day fast, people get the tuck head. You know what that is, right? They tuck their head and say, you know, something's wrong with my ears, okay? But I don't believe for a minute that the disciples doubted in their head. I believe they believed in their head, but they doubted in their heart. Are you with me? You can have belief in your head, but God's not looking for belief from the head. He's looking for belief from the heart. Everybody say from the heart. From the heart. And so most of our unbelief starts out in the head. You know why? Because that's where we hear. Guess what? You're listening to me today. You're hearing the word, but you're hearing it in your head, right? And it takes meditation. It takes speaking the word. And it takes a while to get it down into your heart. The problem is, so many times when church is over, the word is over, the preacher's done, and we go on to the next thing. And it takes a while to get that word from our head to our heart. And we do that by meditation. We do that by fasting. We do that by constantly praying. And so I believe they had belief in the head, but the heart was not believing. And sometimes, remember the father with the demon-possessed boy, and the disciples tried to cast the devil out of him. And the father said to, Lord, help. Help my unbelief. He said, I believe in my head, but help the unbelief in my heart. And it's not that we need more faith. It's that we need to get rid of the unbelief in our hearts. I'm going to show you how to do that today, okay? We need to get rid of the doubt. Everyone say, no doubt. We need to get rid of doubt. No doubt. We need to get rid of doubt. All right. Okay. How many knows? The reason I know it's not a faith problem is because Jesus said, if you had faith the grain of the size of a grain of a mustard seed. How many knows? That's nothing faith. That's nothing faith. If you had the faith to be born again, that God come in, gave you a new heart, wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, prepared a place for you in heaven, and you can believe all that with a little mustard grain seed of faith. How come we have such a difficult time believing God in other areas? It's because of our unbelief in our hearts. Stay with me. Don't criticize me. Just sit on your criticism, and then after church, you can hit me up, okay? All right. When you mix water with your gas, how many knows what happens? Your engine stops, right? It's not the gas in the engine that causes it not to run. It's the water that's mixed with the gas that causes your engine not to run. Now listen, it's not that you need more gas, right? If you've got water in your tank and you go fill your tank up with gas, it's not that you need more gas. How many knows what you need? You need to remove the water. That's why they make heat and other things that you pour in your gas tank. But if you put 2 or 3 gallons of gas in your car, 2 or 3 gallons of water, it's not going to run. You've got to get the water out. Christians, it's not that we need more faith. Listen to me. We don't need more faith. We need to get rid of the unbelief. Thank you for that 1 week. Amen. Amen. How do we get rid of unbelief? How do we get rid of just head knowledge and head belief? How are we gonna get to that place? And here's my answer to that. We're gonna get to that place through fasting and prayer. It's through fasting and prayer that God speeds things up in our life. Amen. Now, too many times we make fasting an event. It's a one-time-a-year thing. You know, we're gonna set aside 21 days in January, and we're going to fast as a church, and that's a great event. But listen, God never intended for fasting to be an event. He wanted us to make it a lifestyle. Can I get a better amen? It's supposed to be a way of life for the believers. We're to fast and pray regularly, not just as an event. Because fasting and prayer keeps our spiritual belief system charged. It keeps us alive. Fasting is not something we like to talk about because we all love food. Can I get a good amen? Amen. You can tell by looking at some of you. No, you can tell by looking at me. We all love food, right? But fasting with prayer removes unbelief. Fasting with prayer removes unbelief. Now, we say we believe God. We say we believe God, but look at this scripture. I don't know if I gave it to you or not, Blake. Isaiah 29, did I give you that scripture? Okay, Isaiah 29:13. The Bible says, we say we believe God with our lips, but our hearts are far from him because they are filled with what? They are filled with unbelief. It's fasting and prayer that causes your belief system to move from your head to your heart so that genuine faith can come alive. Amen? I believe I got something to teach you this morning. I believe that you can learn something this morning. When the disciples failed to cast that devil out of that man's son, and they came to Jesus privately, the disciples said, "Why couldn't we cast this devil out? You gave us the authority. You've already commanded us to go and heal the sick and cleanse the leper and cast out devils. We know this in our head, but for some reason, we couldn't do it." I like the way Jesus answers this question. It's a simple answer. We've looked over it so many times. We've just tried to explain it away. But here's what Jesus said. The reason you couldn't cast that devil out is because of your unbelief. Look it up. It's what the Bible says. Because of your unbelief. You might believe it up here. You may have been given the authority. You may have the power and the authority through Jesus' name, but you don't believe it down here. It's in your head, but it's got to be moved down to your heart. And the only way to move it from here to here is through fasting and prayer. And I'll prove that to you in just a moment. Amen? Surely if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could speak to that mountain, and it would be far removed from you. It's not a faith problem. It's an unbelief problem. And the way we overcome unbelief is how? Through fasting and prayer. Jesus said this kind, if you remember the words of Jesus, this kind goes not out except by fasting and prayer. Well, Brother Rhodes, I thought he was talking about that kind of demon. These kind of demons can only go out by fasting and prayer. No, listen, there's not one demon that's any stronger than another demon and another demon and another demon. They're all demons and they've been empowered by Satan, right? And Jesus had already given them the authority to cast out devils. So it wasn't a problem that devil was too big for them to cast out. Jesus gave them one simple answer. It was because of your unbelief. Y'all see that today? It wasn't because that demon was stronger than another demon. If that was the case, then we'd have to be fasting and praying to cast out devils all the time. Jesus teaches us here in his word that this kind, what? Unbelief, the kind of unbelief. This goes out by fasting and prayer. It was unbelief that was the problem. How do you get rid of unbelief? You'll hear it again, through fasting and prayer. Amen. So I believe Jesus is trying to teach the church something here. Jesus fasted and Jesus prayed. He was a man that fasted. In fact, he started his ministry with fasting, didn't he? And even Paul started his ministry with fasting. Paul says, I fast and pray often. So we know that fasting and prayer was a New Testament discipline by the early church and even by Jesus. And different people started their ministry through fasting and prayer. But listen to me today. Please listen to your pastor today. If I'm not your pastor, you don't have to listen. But listen, if I'm your pastor today, anytime we as disciples get away from the basics of fasting and prayer, our spiritual belief system weakens. It weakens. Amen? Well, I know how to heal the sick. I mean, I know how to fast and pray. Jesus has given me besides that, I know three Greek words that talks about healing. I don't care what you know in your head. How many of those knowledge puffs up? Knowledge puffs up. What do you believe in your heart? What are you believing today in your heart? Amen. Well, I know word studies. I know exegesis. I know hermeneutics, and I'm so spiritual. I know a whole lot up here, and sometimes that's the problem. We know a whole lot up here, but we have so much unbelief down here. Amen. I don't care about how much you believe up here. I want to know, what do you believe in your heart? Do you believe in your heart that it can be done? There's a lot of people with big brains, but how many knows? Yeah, I won't say anything. Do you have belief in the right place? Amen. Knowledge puffs up, but how many knows love builds up? Amen. At any time, the church gets away from genuine heart belief and we settle only for head belief, the power of God stops working. Do you hear that statement? Not because God can't, not because God won't, but because we have hindered God. Do you remember one time in the wilderness when they questioned God, why don't you do this, God? Why don't and you know what God said? He said, I think it's in the book of Psalms, he said, they have limited the Holy One of Israel. How do we limit the Holy One of Israel? By unbelief, having unbelief. Not a lack of faith. Listen, we hear, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing and we get great faith. But sometimes our heart faith, it stays up here in our head. And we got to get that stuff from our head to our heart. And it's done through fasting and prayer. I'll prove it. Hang on just a minute. Somebody said, boy, we like these yearly events when we get to go to Washington, D.C. and we walk for 3 days and we fast and we put duct tape over our mouths and we're making a statement. It's important to fast and pray, you know, to stop this legislation or to stop this program or whatever. And Jesus and people say, well, you know, we do that one time a year. Well, big deal. Thank God you go once a year. And I believe it's okay to, you know, if you want to rally, go ahead and rally. But listen, fasting is a way of life. I said, fasting is a way of life. It's not a 3-day event. It's not a 21-day event. And I don't know about you, but this year I am making some declarations in my life that this old boy is going to fast more. I am going to fast more, and I'll show you some of the benefits of fasting. Amen. So, again, unbelief slows down what God has for us. It's a hindrance to our spiritual walk with Him. It can even stop us. Now, you know I'm going to turn to this book and to this chapter, so let's look at it right now. Isaiah 58. This is a chapter on fasting. We're going to look through this for just a little bit today, and then I'm going to get out of your way. You got things to do, right? Okay, Isaiah 58, and we're going to start at verse number 1. When you found it in your Bible, say amen. Amen. If you're just going to look on the wall, say amen. Amen. All right, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout aloud. Don't be timid. Tell my people of their sins. They act so pious. How many knows we still have actors in the church today? They act so pious. They come to the temple every day, and they seem delighted to learn all about me. Look at this next line. They act like a righteous nation. The actors are still there, aren't they? We still got them today in the church. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. We have fasted before you. Why aren't you impressed? We've been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice it. I'll tell you why, says the Lord. It's because you are fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. Humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap. You cover yourself with your head with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? And he answers his own question. No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free. Remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. And, oh, I like this last line. And do not hide from your relatives who need your help. Y'all know what I mean, don't you? They show up in your driveway and you close the blinds, pull the curtains and say, oh, God, they're here again. I know you. This whole passage of scripture that I just read deals with fasting the wrong way. They were fasting with the wrong attitude, and God is trying to correct us in our way of fasting. They were going without food. They weren't helping the hungry. They were going through the motions. They weren't helping those in need. Instead, they were still fighting and quarreling and gossiping and slandering. They were quarreling. They were puffed up with pride. Listen, fasting is a means to humble yourself. I'm going to say it again. Fasting is a means of humbling ourselves. Fasting is a means of saying, God, I am depending on you. But instead, their spiritual practice of fasting was increasing their spiritual pride. They were using spiritual weapons, but they had the wrong motives. How many knows motive matters? You can fast these next 21 days at Solid Rock, and you can fast and come out unchanged because the motive was not right. Your motive must be pure in fasting. Amen? You remember in Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus warned the people about fasting with wrong motives? Remember when he said, when you fast, not if you fast? Remember that, Luke? When you fast, not if you fast. What's that mean? He expects us to fast. Notice he said, when you give, not if you give. Now, I could change my message right there, couldn't I, and go to a whole different topic. He didn't say, if you give. Well, I give at Christmas time to the church. I give a big bonus to the church at Christmas time, but you don't do anything else the rest of the time. Listen, folks, when you give, when you honor God, when you pray, and when you fast, these are three spiritual disciplines that God expects to be done regularly by the church. Now, how do you know? Listen. Do you only pray once a year? When you pray, do you only pray once a year? Or do you pray maybe every day, maybe every other day, maybe every week? I hope so. When you pray, it's a spiritual discipline that we as believers need to be actively involved in. When you give, when do you give? Do you only give once a year? Most people give weekly or every other week or once a month. It's not an event. It's a practice. Come on, somebody shout amen. It's a practice. Praying is a practice. Giving is a practice. And fasting is not an event. It is a practice because we don't do it just once a year. It's a lifestyle. And then he goes on and he says, I like this part. When you fast, don't do like the hypocrites do. You know how the hypocrites, you know, they like to look miserable. How you doing today, brother? Oh, I've been fasting two meals and I'm starved to death. But God's going to, listen, that's not what God's looking for. You know, I've had to tell people that I'm fasting before, but not to brag about it, but because they kept asking me to go to lunch with them. And I finally said, no, I'm not eating today. You know, these guys, these Pharisees, they wanted to be seen. They dressed in sackcloth and put ashes on their head. And they walked around like, oh, this is such a religious duty that I've got to do. You know what? They got their reward. You know how they got their reward? Huh? They got a thumbs up on Facebook. Yeah. Or they got a heart in their text message. Yeah, they got their reward. They got their reward because people noticed them and said, oh, you're so spiritual. You mean you're fasting three meals today? You're fasting 21 days? We're not doing it for recognition. We're not doing it for a pat on the back. We're not doing it except to lay ourselves before Almighty God and say, God, here I am. Use me, change me, help me, Lord, to get rid of that unbelief and move it down, increase my faith in my heart. Some people fast 6 hours, and to hear them talk, you think they're going to die. Now, it's easy for me to talk like that today because I'm going out to eat after a while. But now, 2 weeks from today, I may be singing a different tune. Yeah, you let everybody know how you've suffered, how it's been so rough. It's been such a hard fast. Jesus says, don't do that. Don't look miserable. Don't look disheveled. He said, the only reason you're doing that is because you want your fasting has made you get puffed up in pride, and you want people to admire you. Somebody shout good preaching. I know the church isn't as full as it normally is, but somebody shout, make it sound like it's full today. Good preaching. You know, sometimes, have you ever heard professional prayers? You know, they only pray to be heard. Dear God, we approach your throne today. And for some reason, they think the King James version of praying gets closer to God than just, hello, God, I need you, you know? Some people pray. I've listened to people pray, and sometimes you think, are they praying to God, or are they praying for somebody to hear what they're saying? Come on, church, shout amen. We've heard them all, haven't we? Oh, we want them to admire me. Oh, you prayed a beautiful prayer. I don't care if it's a beautiful prayer or not. I want to know what God thinks about it. I know my praying doesn't. When I pray, sometimes I just butcher up the English language, but that's all right. By the time it gets to the throne room of God, it's purified. Perfect grammar. I might say ain't, but God receives it as can't. Or no, can't, okay? You're just doing all this so that people will admire you and think you've really got it together. But Jesus said the only reward you're going to get is you've already got it, the pat on the back. I don't want somebody coming up to us after our 21-day fast and say, oh, you guys are really spiritual for your church to fast for 21 days. First of all, I know that not everyone's going to fast 21 days, okay? Secondly, I know that not everybody's going to fast three meals a day for 21 days. And I know that there's going to be some that will eat, and that's all right. Some of you are doing the Daniel fast. Some are doing the carnivore fast. And it doesn't matter to me what you do. I'm not trying to put legalistic parameters on it. Just do what you do is unto the Lord. And you know what? God will reward you. It's good preaching? All right, especially just before we fast. Go with me to Luke chapter 18. By the way, Jesus basically said, when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Don't let your beard go down to your knees and tell everybody, well, I'm fasting. That's why my beard's so long. Yeah, and your breath stinks. Brush your teeth when you're fasting. Amen. That's a mama rule, okay. In Luke chapter 18, we have a story here of two people that went up to pray. Y'all remember the story, right? One was a Pharisee and one was a tax collector. Then Jesus, verse 9, then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Can I stop there for just a minute and insert a thought? When you talk bad about others, it's a good indication that you're puffed up in pride. When you can't say something good about somebody, and all you can do is say bad, then you're saying, I'm not where they are. I'm up a little higher than they are. Come on now. Well, you know, we need to expose this preacher. We need to expose this church. We need to turn them in. Listen, who made you the sheriff for God's army or for God's police? God didn't make you the chief of police. Amen? Besides that, you need to remove the log out of your own eye before you help other people get this toothpick out of theirs. Well, we need to expose. You don't need to expose anything. You just need to serve God and let God take care of these things. Now, I could go on a little pig trail right here, but I think it would come back and bite me in the back of the neck. So I'm going to stay away from it. Yeah. Maybe you can't see the log in your own eye. That's the problem. Can I get a witness? Are you thinking of somebody right now? I know you are. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other one was a despised tax collector. In other words, Mark, nobody liked this guy. Nobody likes tax collectors. They looked up to the other guy because he was a what? A Pharisee, yeah. The Pharisee stood by himself, and he prayed this prayer. Oh, Lord, I thank you, my God. I'm not like other people. I'm not a cheater. I'm not a sinner. I'm not an adulterer. I don't dip and cuss and smoke and chew. And I don't hang out with people that do. I am so righteous and so holy, Lord. That's not the end of the story. He goes on and says, I'm certainly not like that tax collector. Y'all see that? You see, Lord, I fast twice a week. And the Pharisees did. They fasted twice a week. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. But this tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift up his eyes to heaven as he prayed. He began to beat his chest in sorrow and said, Lord, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. You know what Jesus said? I tell you. Not the Pharisee. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. We need to get rid of this self-exaltation attitude in the Church of Jesus Christ. There's nobody any better than anybody else. You may have a higher education. You may have a higher IQ. But in the eyes of God, that doesn't make you any better of a person than someone that's a high school dropout. You might be smarter, but how many knows now God's not looking at the brains, he's looking at the heart. How's your heart? How's your heart? Is this okay today? Am I rubbing the cat the wrong way? We're all the same. Somebody may not be able to wear $1,000. What's a suit that costs $1,000? Somebody help me. Armani. You may not be able to afford an Armani suit and diamonds on every finger of your hand. You may not be able to buy a new car every year. But listen, if you do, that doesn't mean you are better than someone who's driving in a broken down Volkswagen van. I wouldn't mind having a Volkswagen van right now. Are you with me today? Do you understand what I'm saying? Nobody's better than anybody else. And this Pharisee put himself on a pedestal because I fast and I tithe and I go to church all the time. Listen, folks, we better get rid of that prideful spirit because that's the very thing that's going to cause you to stumble and fall. Amen? Man, I got to hurry. Where am I at? Right after Jesus tells what the people in Isaiah, the kind of fast he likes, he picks it up again in verse number 8. Let's go back to Isaiah, verse 8. Then your salvation will come like the dawn. Your deliverance, your help, it'll come like the dawn. How many knows the dawn comes how often? Every day. Never fear, the dawn will be tomorrow. Never fear, the sun will rise tomorrow. Listen, he goes on and he says, Where am I at? Your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward. This is the people that are fasting and praying according to Isaiah. And the glory of the Lord will protect your rear guard or protect you from behind. You know why? Because the armor of God don't protect you in the back. It's all forward stuff. It's made for charging. But the back is covered by the Lord who protects us. So what I'm beginning to see here is that when we fast God's way, unbelief gets dislodged and things begin to come forth speedily. This is what the Bible says, amen? Let's look at this one more time. Number one, he'll cause your healing to come forth speedily. Do you know there's been people that's been dealing with the same physical problem for years and years and years? I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart what the Bible says, that when we fast and we pray and we seek the face of God and we get that junk out of our heart and we get this faith from here to here and this belief from here to here, I believe you're going to see your healing spring forth speedily. I'm not saying it. The Bible says it. It causes your healing to come speedily. Listen to this. Your debts to be paid speedily. Your deliverance to come speedily. Fasting will cause things that have slowed down in your life to speed back up again. It's a good reason to fast and pray, right? You know, maybe you've had an addiction that you've been trying to kick for years. Maybe there's a habit in your life that you just have a really hard time, you know, getting rid of, something that's stopping you. Fasting will break that stronghold. Fasting will cause your recovery to come forth quickly. Anybody get anything out of this today? How many will stay with me just two more pages? They're big pages. Anybody in here heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Great apostle of faith. You ought to read some of his books. If you want to get fired up, read a book by Smith Wigglesworth. That'll cause you to look for demons to cast out. But you know, Smith Wigglesworth had a real serious problem with anger. He had an anger problem. He was still the apostle of faith, and he was still doing great things for God, but he had an anger problem, and it tore down his testimony. It tore down, he could scream and yell at his wife. He would scream and yell at other people. He would even scream and yell at his church people. He would lash out at his church members. He got so fed up. You know, how many knows you got to recognize something before you can get free from it? Did you hear me? You've got to recognize it before you can get free from it. He got so fed up with this anger problem and issues that he went on a 10-day fast. Everybody say 10 days. At the end of those 10 days, Smith Wigglesworth was completely delivered of anger and never lashed out at another person again. What took years of trying to overcome was cured in a moment with prayer and fasting. Say it again. What took years to overcome was speedily recovered. He recovered speedily in just a moment, because fasting and prayer dislodges, allows the power of God to flow free in our lives. Amen. And then verse 9 says, here's another benefit to fasting and prayer. Verse 9 says, and when you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I am here. He will reply. He will quickly reply. Do you ever notice that if you're not fasting and praying, you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait? But the Bible says when we fast and pray, that it will come forth speedily. All right? So let me see how I can wrap this up real quick. Paul and Silas, they were fasting and worshiping God. They needed direction. They didn't know where to go with their ministry. A lot of ministers and a lot of people have been like this, even people sitting in the church. Which direction do I go? Do I take this job? Do I not take this job offer? Do I move to this city for a better job, or do I stay here? And God, where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? Direct me, Lord. I need divine direction. And Paul and Silas were worshiping and fasting, and the Bible says as they were fasting, the Lord spoke to them. Says the Holy Ghost spoke to them and gave them the direction to go over to this particular city and start preaching the gospel over there. One of the things he didn't tell them was, you're going to get thrown in jail. But he did tell them, go over there and start preaching, and God, how many knows God blessed that ministry? Amen. And so if you're waiting for God to speak to you, you're waiting for direction. God, should I get involved in this ministry? Should I work in this area of the church? Or should I, Lord, and we sang that song earlier, Lord, I'm available, Lord. What do you want me to do, Lord? Fast and pray. And God gives direction in fasting. How many's ever heard the word expedited? Expedited. You know, when you ship a package by FedEx, there's two ways you can do it. You can do it standard, or you can do it expedited. Now, standard means they might get it someday. Standard means if they lose it and you call them, you're going to be on the phone for a long time. Standard means it's cheaper, but it may get there broken. You ever seen these guys just throw the package from the truck into the front yard, you know, or to the front porch? That's standard shipping, right? That's standard. But how many knows what expedited can do? There's that word expedited, to speed it up. You know, they can even say that there's a possibility we can get it there the same day. That's expedited, right? The same day. If not the same day, at least the next day. How many knows it's more expensive, right? It's a whole lot more expensive. But guess what it does? It takes away the delays. It takes away and it causes expectation. It causes quick deliveries. And I just tell you something here, folks. Fasting and prayer is the way to expedite the blessings of God in your life. We don't fast and pray for the blessings. We fast and pray for particular things going on around us. But God sees your heart. God sees that person means it. That person's dedicated to it. I am going to do something in their behalf. And I will expedite. I will expedite. No more doubting. No more delays. No more unbelief. You know, the banker says it's going to take you 30 years to pay that off. God says, I'll expedite that for you. We'll see if we can't get that down to 15 years. Somebody shout amen. No more delays. How do we get rid of unbelief? Through fasting and prayer. Worship team, if you'll join me up front, I'm going to give you one more example. One more example. Show you what God did in record-breaking time by another Old Testament example. When Nehemiah heard that the walls of Jerusalem had crumbled and were ruined and were beyond repair, you know what he did? The first thing he did, he didn't complain about it. He did cry. He wept about it. But you know what he did? He went to God in fasting and prayer. He fasted and prayed, God, can I be, I'm not a carpenter. I'm not a contractor. God, can you even use me? I have a desire in my heart to see this thing fixed, and I don't know the first thing. I've never held a brick. I've never picked up a hammer. But God, this thing needs to be done. Can you use me? And God said, I'll use you. I'll give you the knowledge that you need, and I'll surround you with the people that will help you get the job done. Sometimes I look at my life and I think, dear God, how in the world can I pastor a church like this? This is such an awesome group of people. I have an awesome staff. We have awesome people in this church, people serving that you can't even, well, I don't know if there's anybody upstairs today, but there's usually on a Sunday morning, people are scattered everywhere. But listen, I look at myself and think, God, how can you, I'm not qualified. I may have been here a few years, but I still feel totally unqualified. It's like we were talking about the other day, the more the Bible you read, the more complicated it seems to get sometimes. But Nehemiah said, I'm not qualified, but God, I am available. Can you shout available? Can you sing available? Were you going to sing available?
We talked about it.
Then he has to go and get relief from his the boss, the king that he works for, and the king says, not only can you go, but I'll give you a pass, and we'll make sure you get all the equipment and everything you need to get the job done. Now, here's where I want to go with this. He gathered all the workers. How many knows it didn't happen instantly? It didn't happen because there was no battles, no opposition. There was lots of opposition. But look at what the Bible says. On October 2nd, the wall was finished, just 52 days after we begun. We're not talking about a picket fence, folks. We're not talking about a barbed wire fence going around the city. No, we're talking about huge walls that were wide enough to race chariots across the top. The Bible says when our enemies and the surrounding nations heard about it, they were frightened and humiliated, and they realized the work had been done with the help of God. I want to ask you something. Did God expedite that project? It should have taken them years, maybe even thousands, hundreds of years to build that wall, but they did it in 52 days. Why? Because God put his hand upon it, and he fasted, and he prayed, and they did it in record-breaking time. Did you get anything out of this today? Would you mind just standing up for just a minute before I let you go today? I don't know what you're up against. I don't know what you're facing. Let me use Sister Rhonda for an example. Is she here? Sister Rhonda stood in faith every day for her husband to come to church and sit with him and give his life to Jesus. She stood in faith not only for days and weeks and months, but she stood in faith for years. Years. Now, I don't know the exact how many it was, and if anybody knows, you can help me right now, but it was several years later after she started praying. One Sunday morning, Rick Turnbow came in, gave his life to Jesus, and has been as faithful as clockwork ever since. You say, well, where's he at today? Well, today he's in Florida helping the recovery project the hurricane that took place down there. And so I'm just telling you what. You ever felt like you just stood and stood and stood and nothing happened? Nothing was going on. It seemed like nothing's moving. Everything's blocked up. I want to tell you something. Try fasting and praying. Don't pray for your things to speed up. Don't pray for yourself. In fasting, don't pray for your needs and your hurts. Just go to God in prayer and see what God can do. Amen? So whatever you're facing today, I believe we can dislodge all of that unbelief through fasting and prayer. As a practice, as a discipline. Maybe one meal a day, 3 days a week. I'm not preaching for this upcoming fast. I'm preaching to help you realize that it is a disciplined lifestyle that we live. And there are people in this church now that fast. Some fast every Monday. Some fast certain meals during the week. And that's all right. That's fine. I'm excited to hear about that. And it needs to be a way of life, not an event. We have an event starting January 6th. But when all that's over and said and done, we need to continue a lifestyle of fasting. Everybody say record-breaking time. Record-breaking time. Man, God can cause those finances to break through, come through for you that you've been believing for years and years and years. Supernatural advancement. You've been waiting for a promotion at work, and you've just waited. Listen, fasting and prayer will cause God to move speedily. That's what the Bible says. Amen? That's what happens when people fast and pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God's got a cure for your unbelief. It's called fasting and praying. And this morning, if you're in this house today and Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, maybe it's your first time to ever be in church, maybe you've been in church all your life, but you never invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Today is the day of salvation. What a wonderful time to come to Jesus, the last service of 2024, and give your life to Jesus. You put it off all of 24 thinking, I'll do it someday. You put it off in 23 thinking, I'll do it someday. Today is your day of salvation. Today's the day to come to Jesus and start 2025 with newness of life. Anybody in here this morning say, Pastor, I'd really like to give my life to Jesus today. I'm just tired of living for myself, and I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Anybody, just slip your hand up real quickly and back down. Just real quickly. I'm not going to embarrass you. Anybody? I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Today's my day. Father, if there's anybody in here today that does not know you, we just release the Holy Spirit to begin to convict. Convict, Lord. Convict. Anybody today, I want to give Jesus my life today.